Welcome to the Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Harkin, a family biker in Washington, D.C., mom of two boys, and founder of the D.C. Family Biking Facebook group. Please enjoy the episode. Hi, Matt. This is Nicole. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
Awesome. Well, let me do your bio real quick. Matt is a retired engineer, current full-time dad. He's been biking for Transpirt for decades in cities all over the country. These days, you'll find him riding his kids around his small Pennsylvania town in a Madsen bucket bike while blogging about biking and other ways to save energy and money at ProfitGreenlee.com. So thanks for taking time to chat with me about your favorite family biking tips and tricks. Well, let's just jump right in with your light.
Yeah, so happy to be here. So my first tip for biking is just get an awesome light. And the one that I use is from a company called Knight Rider. It's their Mako 200 USB light. But I don't think they even sell this model anymore. It's a little bit old. There are much better ones available now. They have one called a Swift 500 that does 500 lumens instead of 200 lumens. So it's like more than twice as bright. And this stuff to me, because I've been biking for so long, it's just mind blowing because it used to cost like $300 to get a 500 lumen light. And now it costs like $40. It's just, the change is crazy. And having that super bright light is really important if you're ever, riding and there's not good lighting and you really need to see the road ahead of you. Cause it's like, if your light's not strong enough, you basically have to go 5 miles per hour because you just can't see far enough, fast enough. Like you're moving so fast.
Right.
And so, once I got one of these lights, 10 years ago, it changed my life because I could suddenly start riding at night, so I could do a bike commute to work and I could come back, and the sun's gone down and it's fine, or I could ride my bike to a rock concert or to a party or something. And those are happening at night. You need a light,
Totally.
And so I just, whenever I talk with people about biking, I'm like, the first thing you need is good lights, and they're cheap now. The Swift 500 is $40. You can buy these lights, worse ones for $20. Everyone should have lights on their bike. It's just, I wish they would just make all bikes having lights. They make cars with lights. It's just a requirement. That should just be the deal, because you need lights to ride at night, and you need to be able to ride at night to really do stuff with your bike.
Well, and the thing, I lived in Europe for a couple years, and all the bikes I had there had the internal hub. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. The hub generator.
Which I loved, because the USB thing is great, except I always forget it, right? So I remember to bring it in to charge it, and then I forget to take it out. Or you have to always have batteries with you. Anyway, the internal, I really prefer just make it work.
Yeah, for me, because I worked with computers, the USB charger, it was so easy because I'd have a laptop. Worst case scenario, I'd charge it off my laptop. And these lights, they last so long on a charge. And one thing I do like about the Mako in particular is some lights, when they get to the end, they just turn off and you're dead. You're stuck out there in darkness. And that's terrible. The Mako, it has the power button turns blue when it's on. And then when it gets to lower power, it changes color to red and it powers it down. But it still works for hours after that. So it never has gone out on me while I'm riding, because the only time it's ever gone out is it went red and I was super lazy and ignored it for days. and then finally went out. I was like, oh man, that's on me, But yeah, that's one feature, I guess, that the Mako has that maybe other ones don't have. Find one that has that sort of warning, because if it just cuts out, that stinks,
Well, the other thing that people talk about in the, around is the lumens and whether you can have some that seem to be too bright. And I don't know.
I don't know about if there's really such a thing as too bright, because you can always just angle it down,
Right.
Just point it at the ground and the ground around you will be just unbelievably bright. That'll be fine. I don't know what a car headlight is. Car headlights are over 500 lumens. So, if cars are driving around with their headlights, if you're not more powerful than that, I think the biggest thing is car headlights, again, are pointed at the ground. The biggest problem that people have is, if you point it straight at somebody's face, that's not good. Don't do that. That's where I ride with the bike with it on my handlebars, not on my helmet, because I'm afraid if, you know, with a really bright light on my helmet, you just like point it right at someone's face, you'll blind them. Like, that's not cool. Right. That's not going to make you safer.
Exactly. If you can't see while you're driving. All right, cool. All right. Tell me about your helmet mirror.
Yeah. So speaking of helmets, this is another thing that kind of like just changed my biking life. I was always just, you know, turning around and looking behind me or just not even looking. And both of those, I think, are kind of dangerous, you know. And when I started biking with my kids on the bike, turning around became even harder because, you know, they're live humans, and they have their own, you know, weight and their own movements. So I just didn't want to turn around anymore. And I'd had this Third Eye Pro helmet mirror that I'd had for years, but I didn't really use it much because it came with like this double-sided tape to stick to your helmet, and it just fell off. And I was like, how do they sell this thing? And it just falls off your helmet. It has like one job and it couldn't do it.
Right, right.
But instead of throwing it out, I just kept it in my bike box for like five plus years. I don't even know how long. It just sat there gathering dust. And finally, when I needed it, I said, you know what? I'm going to go make it work. So I just took some like electrical tape and I wrapped it around, you know, the little plastic inside your helmet, that little like frame that goes around your head. I just wrapped it around that and around the end of this light, and it's completely solid. It hasn't gone anywhere now. So once I had that, it just like changed my biking life. Being able to just like look and see behind you instantly. You know, how often do you turn around and look back on a bike? Like occasionally, but it's a big deal to do that. So people aren't doing it every, you know, 3 seconds. Whereas now when I ride with a mirror, I'm looking behind me every, you know, 5-10 seconds, maybe less. And so I never feel like somebody's coming up on me and I'm not aware of it. And that's just, it's just changed biking for me. It's just made it so much safer, like left turns. And also like, you know, people talk about the right hook where you're going straight and somebody turns right and cuts you off. I see that coming now. And I'm still not happy at the driver for being a terrible driver and doing that to me, but I'm going to know it's happening. And so I really
before
like
it happens.
Yeah. And now I just like, once you start riding with it and looking at it all the time, and I ride a fair amount, I like look for it in daily life. Like I'm just walking. I'm not even on my bike. I'm just crossing a sidewalk, you know,
that's totally happened to me. Yeah. Yeah. Mine is on my handlebar, and I was riding my gigantic bike to school with my boys, and they were on their own bikes. Mm-hmm. And a little kid shamed me. He was like, I don't know why you ride that big bike. Your kids don't ride on there anymore. And I was like, so I got a new bike. And then I didn't immediately put the mirror on there. And so I kept like, I felt so unmoored. Like, where's the mirror? Like, how can I look? What am I supposed to do? Oh, turn your head.
Yeah.
But I got to put it on there. Yeah. Those are great. Those are totally great.
Yeah. So again, like, I wish they would just include these with helmets. Like there's not a single helmet that you can buy that just has a mirror built in. That at least somebody should sell it, you know, if not being required.
Yeah. Or even the handlebar mirror. Like why can't that be on there? So yeah, tell us about your bike real quick. We didn't even get into that. The Madsen.
Oh yeah. Well, so the Madsen, that's my main ride these days. It's a gigantic bucket bike. It has a huge plastic bucket on the back for people who aren't familiar. And in that bucket, there's two seats that can each hold two kids with seat belts. And the thing I really like about it is it has a weather cover that you just like pull over the entire bucket. So I ride my kids, you know, pretty much year round here. Like if it's super snowy and the conditions on the road are bad, I won't ride them then. But you know, if it's just cold weather or rainy weather, I'm going to be riding my kids. And so that weather cover, that's what really sold me on it. And that's
great. And what color do you have?
I got black because I bought mine used. I did not buy it new. I would not probably have bought black new, but you know, it's always in fashion, right? So
that's true. That's true. And then it's interesting. Like I looked at the Madsen. Now, is yours electrified or no?
No electric on mine yet.
Okay. And then how is it riding? Are you in rural Pennsylvania or what? How are there a lot of family bikers where you are? How is that?
So not a lot. So I'm in the center of Pennsylvania, in State College, Pennsylvania. It's a little college town, as the name implies. And there's a fair amount of bikers here. There's at least one other Madsen in the town, though I've never seen it. Only my wife has seen it. But you know, when we're like riding to, you know, the kids to school, there'll be like a few other, you know, students biking to college. Okay. I don't really see a lot of other family bikers going my way. I've seen a few other family bikers in town, but there's, you know, decent enough bike lanes. I really don't feel like in danger riding here. I think it's definitely a great little town to ride in. And because it's a small town, the town's like 5 miles across. So I don't even understand why everyone doesn't bike here, because there's nowhere that's far, you know, like coming from right. other cities like DC or you know, I used to live in Tempe, Arizona. Those are like sprawling cities. You can ride, you know, 30 miles and still be in kind of the city, right? Like right, I guess in right, DC, right. You're in Northern Virginia or Maryland, but it's still basically right, the still. Same area. And that's just like a really long ride, but in a tiny little town like this, you know, 5 miles, that's one of the reasons I haven't done electric, because I'm like, I'm not going that far, you know?
It's not that far. Well, and your kids must be small enough still that...
They're pretty small.
See, my kids got heavy.
yeah. Well, you know, the Madison does weigh like 90 pounds, so I definitely feel it.
But... Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a big bike. You're right.
Yeah, and all we right, have hills cool. here, so it's a slow... I'm slightly faster than walkers going uphill without an electric assist.
All right. Well, tell me about your Ortlieb bags, and yeah. I want to know if they match the bike.
Oh, well, so the Ortliebs aren't for the Madsen, because you can't put panniers on the Madsen, right? Because you've got a giant bucket back there. Well, you can put them
on. So you don't have any bags in the front?
So in the front, I have a milk crate. That is, there's a front rack, and I have a milk crate zip tied down to it. But the Ortliebs were for my other bike. So the bike that I have many other bikes, but the main other bike that I had is this old 1989 Cannondale touring bike that I've used for years. I didn't buy it in 1989. I bought it used, like, you know, a while back. But, you know, put a rack on that, put two Ortliebs on it, and you can carry anything. So Ortlieb, for what people don't know what that is, it's a pannier that clips onto your back rack, and you can just fill it with stuff. They're basically just huge bags. There's a little organizer in them for like a few doodads, so you can keep like a bike tool or a spare tire, stuff like that in there, but not a lot of organization. It's basically just a giant open bag, and they're great because they're fully waterproof, so you can like put stuff in them and then roll the top down like you do on a dry bag for like a kayak if you're, you know, mm-hmm, used to that sort of stuff. And like you can go through any sort of rainstorm. These things will never get wet inside. And that's awesome because, you know, I used to bike like my computer and stuff to work. If you get one computer destroyed by a rainstorm, it's you're going to wish you paid more for your waterproof bag. So that was one thing that sold me on them. Another thing is I'd used these other a few other different panniers before them. And the way they attached the rack was just really bad. The other ones, like they would use like elastic and bungees, and I had ones literally just pop off my bike if I hit like a bump. And luckily they were filled with books. So like books weren't really that badly hurt by falling. But what if it was groceries? What if it was my computer? You know, like I was just like, I can't live with that.
It's totally worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I paid a little extra for the Ortliebs, and you know, they've lasted almost 10 years now. I think they're going to last 10 more easily. They're super rugged. And their connection to the bike, there's just a little like strap that you pull, and there's these two little locking, like spring-loaded locking, I don't know what you call them, like teeth or something like that, that grip around the rack. And once you pull that lever, they just come right off like instantly. So you can just pull the thing, take them off, put them on. They have like, shoulder straps. So you just put the shoulder strap over, you take them into the store, do whatever, and then you come back out. And throw them right back on your bike. And it's just awesome. Like, I can't stand biking with a backpack. Some people bike with backpacks. It's just, for me, that is not my idea of a good time. And so Ortlieb's lets you carry way more than a backpack ever could. Like, I've had, you know, 40 pounds of groceries in them, and then like another, you know, 20 pounds just on the rack in between them. And that's been fine. And so like when I used to bike around before the Madsen, on my other bike, I use my Ortliebs all the time. Now that I have this giant bucket, I don't use them so much, but I still do every once in a while. If I'm biking without my kids, I take the other bike out and I go, oh my gosh, this thing is so fast, because it's not a 90-pound cargo
it's
bike.
It's so light.
Yeah. I actually feel the back tire moving around like left to right that I never realized that it happened until I started riding like a giant heavy bike. And then I rode a light bike. And right. Like, oh, you can just like, you can do anything on this. It just moves around, you know?
Okay. Well, I am super excited to hear about your GPS tracker. I had my brother Montana on the last episode and I forgot to ask him. He did a similar thing, but he used, I think the company he used is Ting.
Ting, yep.
So
that's like through Walmart.
Tell me about how you did this.
Yeah, so basically, once I got the Madsen, you know, I got it used, but it's still an expensive bike, and like, you know, my Cannondale's like, I think I bought it for $300, so I wasn't super worried about my Cannondale getting stolen, though I still did buy a ridiculous fat lock for it, and that has kept it from ever being stolen. But I was like, you know, this big expensive bike might get stolen, and it's also the Madsen's so huge that it's hard to lock to like a bike rack because it's just a beast.
The bike racks aren't really made for our bikes.
I mean, especially the Madsen, like even beyond like a regular long tail, because it's so wide in the back, it's just right. It's a porker. And so I thought I had to come up with another solution, and I looked, there's lots of these little GPS bike trackers that you can buy, but they were either like really expensive up front or cheap up front, but then they'd have, you know, a $20 monthly fee, which adds up, you know. And then like, who's running this service? Are they going to be around in 5 years? Are they going to like sell your data to China, to some hacking collective? Like, what are they doing with it? I just didn't feel comfortable with any of those solutions. And so I thought, you know, I have Find My Phone on my Android phone. I just click a button and it finds it if it gets stolen. And I have an old Android phone, so why don't I just put that phone in a case and hide the case on my bike, and there you go. So, you know, you can even do like sharing location in Google Maps. And so I have a whole blog post on my blog, profitgreenly.com, that goes over how to do this. But basically you can, you know, share your Google Maps location of one phone with another phone. So the phone that's hidden on my bike shares with my regular phone, and I just click a button on my phone, I see where my bike is instantly. I can click another button and see the history of where my bike has been. And so like if someone were to steal it and like take it into a warehouse that no longer had cell service, I would still know that they went in there.
Okay.
See the breadcrumbs going into the warehouse. And so that works out really well. And then for service, I use Google Fi. And so that's like Google's phone service. And my wife already used it just for her cell phone, which it's a pretty good deal for cell phone. It's really good if you're traveling internationally because it works all over the world. And so that's why we did it for her, because she had to do some international travel. And once you have a Google Fi cell phone account, you can get what they call a data only SIM for no money. They'll literally ship it to you for free. You don't pay anything for it. And you put that in your old phone, and all you pay for is the data that your old phone uses, which I thought was going to be like 1 meg a month. It turns out there's a bunch of random stuff that happens on Android. Even if you try to turn everything off, it uses maybe like 50 to 100 megs a month. But that's basically $1 a month. And now I have a GPS tracker on my bike. And the only annoying thing is you have to keep it charged. So I found like even with my junky old phone, you know, that has a bad battery, if you have everything turned off and you're just using it for this, it lasts about a week. And so you just have to keep it charged up. And you could get like a battery case or something to really make it go better. But yeah, it works pretty well. I also thought about using like an iPhone, because the other thing I hate about Android phone doing this is that when you plug it back in, it doesn't immediately turn off if it was already dead, whereas an iPhone will just turn back on when you plug it in from dead. So I have this whole like case, this hidden case built from like an old video game case that's like hidden under the seat of my Madsen. And it's hard to get to if it, you know, to extract the phone from it, which is intentional in design. But if I ever let it get discharged, it gets a little annoying. So that's like maybe version two, I'll work on that.
We did do a group buy in the DC Family Biking of tiles a couple years ago. And we actually, one person did recover their bike with their tile, which was great, except So I've had my Tile, I don't know, maybe 3 years. I don't know. The battery died and there are all these tutorials. I mean, it's just a little, you know, button battery inside.
Yeah.
And of course they want you just to buy a new one. Now they make them so you can open them up. But anyway, I've fallen down on that project.
Yeah. The other problem with Tile is it's like, it doesn't actually have a GPS tracker in it, or maybe it has a GPS, right. It doesn't have a cellular modem. So it like only works in a big city.
Where there's other phones around, right? Right.
You have to have like other Tiles in the vicinity to know where your Tile is, which, you know, if you hit saturation, great. Maybe in DC it's great. But I figured out here in like middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, it might not work for me. So I went with this. But I've also been looking, there's another crazy technology if you really want to get crazy. There's something called LoRa, which is like long range, low power wireless networking. And that can have a range of like 5-10 miles on a single transmitter. I was like, why don't you just set up like a LoRa in like cities and then you just have like GPS location like across the entire DC area from one LoRa transmitter? But maybe that's like a future awesome. Business I'll start.
cool. Well, okay. So I want to hear about your project. So fascinating story. My other brother has just recently decided to make his house completely carbon neutral.
Awesome.
So I'm excited to hear about this project.
Yeah. So my project that I, you know, kind of do in my spare time is I write a blog called profitgreenly.com. And it kind of started when I made my own house net zero. And I was like, wow, this is actually like profitable, you know, because you always think like it's expensive. And it turns out like the technology's gotten so good that like solar panels are super cheap. Heat pumps are, you know, not super cheap, but they're cheaper than the money they save you. So in the end, you pay all this money and suddenly you start making money. And I was like, wow, this is, you know, this is a no-brainer. And for anyone listening in DC, oh my gosh, if you don't have solar panels in your house in DC, you need to do it right now because DC is the best market for solar panels in the country. There's like a whole regulatory thing that means like they pay back ridiculously fast in DC, faster than anywhere else.
Yeah, we got them 2 years ago. Yeah.
Nice. Well, you're probably like close to paying them off now, right?
Yeah, right. I love them. I love it.
And they're only going to last you like 25 to 50 years. So, you know, if you get 3-year payback, you're only getting, you know, money in the bank for the next few decades of life.
Exactly. Well, that's so great. Well, Matt, I really appreciate chatting with you. This is totally fun.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Well, we'll see you around in the DC Family Biking Facebook group.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. Thanks for listening to Nifty Gadgets for Family Bikers. You can find links to the gadgets in our show notes or at the website www.niftygadgetsforfamilybikers.com. Please share the podcast with other bikers and review the podcast when you have a minute. See you soon.